think we have been responsive to the PIA request. I haven't seen the Attorney General's campaign correspondence. I mean, really, look, the difference is I've been focusing more on what we need to do today, working with the General Assembly to make progress on behalf of Marylanders who need coverage, health insurance coverage. That's the purpose of this emergency legislation as a backstop. Very excited about this morning's announcement with our four private carriers who will have responded to our requests and will retroactively provide coverage to those who made attempt and couldn't. So really for today, this is what I've been focusing on. I have not had an opportunity to see the Attorney General's campaign correspondence.
That retroactive offer, how long has that been in the works? Because, I mean, I guess some will say that was announced to sort of divert attention away from this hearing. I mean,
oh, you're talking about the private?
The private, yeah.
I mean, I guess the best way to answer that is that we have multiple efforts that are sort of simultaneously and concurrently running to do a number of things. One is to improve the performance of the exchange. The other, like today, to announce and file and testify on emergency legislation that expands coverage to more and more Mariners. So there are a lot of things. I mean, you've had an opportunity to sit through our periodic updates, and you know that there are multiple efforts, multiple fixes that are currently ongoing. So some of them come to fruition at different times, and it happened to be that today we were able to announce both the agreement with the private carriers, which happened to be the same day that we, testified on this emergency legislation.
How did you get the carriers to agree to this? What's in it for them? Why are they doing this?
Well, look, anytime you ask a motive question of other people, I mean, you really need to ask them. I mean, I can just say that I'm pleased. The carriers have worked closely with us as we have done our post launch efforts to enroll more and more Marylanders, to improve the system. Care First has been very helpful with providing input about their experience both in Virginia and Maryland. Maryland, we have a state-based exchange. Virginia, there's a federal exchange. We announced today that we're going to stay with the state exchange, and we received input from a number of different sources. But one of them was Care First experience in Virginia, and they strongly believe, and while, again, that wasn't the sole source of our decision, but their belief was that, right now you're in better shape staying where you are. And we got a number of consultants that told us the same thing. So all that to say that, we've been working closely with the carriers on a number of issues, and I'm just pleased that they've stepped up and answered the call, accepted the request to provide that retroactive coverage.
Lieutenant Governor, do you think it would be reasonable of Maryland voters to question your capabilities of running the state after having seen the problems with the healthcare rollout?
I think what Marylanders expect is that whether you're in difficult and challenging times or easy times, whether you're facing economic adversity or the challenges of running a 50,000 person state government, that they look to leaders that will continue to tackle problems and look for ways to improve the quality of life for more Marylanders. And I think they're going to look at things like, what we've done to expand access to coverage to 400,000 Marylanders by expanding Medicaid. I think they're going to look at what we've done to reduce infant mortality in the state of Maryland through a number of programs and services. They're going to look at what we've done to reduce violence against women and children, and they'll look at, the initiatives both in the legislature and in our budget to provide services to victims of domestic violence. So I think Marylanders are going to be looking at a variety of things and to evaluate and assess not just me but all elected officials.
So they'll look at all these other things. What should be their view of this healthcare situation that you headed?
I think what they what we're doing is we're focusing on the fix and making progress. We have made progress since the launch on October 1st, and you've heard the numbers. Enrolling more and more Marylanders, the rate of enrollment increased as we neared the January 1st deadline, and we continue to enroll more and more Marylanders every day. and that we're not going to stop until we
finish. Do you expect to get to the 150,000 number by March 31, or where do you hope to get?
You continue to ask that question, and I continue to answer it by saying that, you know, our goal is to enroll the most number of Marylanders by open enrollment. And, so far, today we've got, you've seen the numbers, 60,000 new Medicaid, 22,500 on the private health plans, the QHPs. We've converted 92,000 or so over from a PAC to full Medicaid. That brings the total number to about 174,000 of the overall 260,000 that we believe will be enrolled in Affordable Care Act compliant plans. So we make progress, but no one is satisfied. No one's, everyone's, at it 24/7, making sure that we can enroll more and more Marylanders so we can get closer and closer to enrolling more and more Marylanders.
I think we've got time for about one more question.
When Senator Kittleman was questioning you in there about an apology, it kind of seemed as if you thought that to apologize would be like an interference with, the work of getting it fixed. Can't you do both?
Well, those are your words. You heard my response. I said, I've spent a lot of time with Marylanders who are frustrated and disappointed, as I am, and what they have said to me over and over over again, continue to work at what you're doing. We know that this is not an easy undertaking. Some understand it as a complicated IT, project, but some understand that Maryland has benefited mm-hmm. by the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. I've had women who come up to me and say, this is great. My insurance premiums are lower today than they were before because they were higher because I was a woman. I've had families that have said, look, we're now able to get health insurance mm-hmm. where before we couldn't because a family member had a pre-existing condition. Mm-hmm. There are Marylanders that say, hey, we really appreciate, that you guys step forward, you embrace, you implemented the Affordable Care Act, the consumer protection provisions, getting mammograms and colonoscopies without, a copay. So what Marylanders are looking for is that each and every day in every way, we are expanding opportunities to get affordable quality health insurance to connect them to affordable quality care. Okay.